Welcome to the Create the Future with Rick Williams podcast. Conversations with leaders who made difficult decisions and built lasting legacies. I am Rick Williams. I speak and write about how leaders can be more successful. My best-selling book, Create the Future, is your essential guidebook for making difficult decisions. This podcast is an opportunity for me and for you to hear how leaders with a wide variety of backgrounds have managed the challenges they faced, made difficult decisions, and had courage when going forward is tough. You will learn important lessons from other leaders. You will find that engaging with our 30-minute conversation will be a great investment of your valuable time. So let's get started. Welcome to the Create the Future podcast. I'm Rick Williams. The Create the Future podcast is a forum for leaders to share their stories about making difficult decisions for their company, or really for any organization, and in some cases for themselves. My goal with the Create the Future podcast is to bring leaders on with compelling stories to share so that you as a leader will learn from what they've learned, you know, what worked, what didn't work, lessons learned, and that will help you become a better leader and a more successful leader of your company. So we're very fortunate to have a great guest today who will share us her story about an important life change that she made in her career and with her company that I know you will gain value from. So I'm excited to introduce you to Desiree Martinez. Now, Desiree is the founder, and she calls herself the chief marketing officer for the Case Agency. And I would describe her as a marketing guru and expert located in the Detroit area. So Desiree, give us a little bit of an introduction to yourself, your sort of life journey up to this point, and get us started with the conversation.
Oh man, it's such a loaded question. It's always so interesting, like how everyone probably has their own way of doing it. For me, I've been doing digital marketing since the MySpace days. I got started on accident at the start of the recession, and I have fallen in love with helping people build online brands and build their messaging out to connect with people anywhere in the world since then. I had a really intentional focus when I got started in social media. And in fact, when I got started, people didn't like know what social media was. Like Facebook had just become a thing that anybody could have access to. People were talking about their tweets and their bagels, and it was this whole like thing. And now everyone, like there are some people that are like, I have a Facebook page before I, or an Instagram account before I even have a website. So it's just one of those interesting things. It's been fun to be on the journey to see how much we have changed in how we consume, how we connect, also how we buy things.
Well, that's great. What I want to do is have this conversation as one in which you can kind of talk about important decision you made, what you experienced going through that, how you made decisions, and obviously we'll broaden it a little bit to how you have lessons you've learned about leadership and making decisions for yourself in the context of, you know, perhaps your personal life, but also particularly your business. So I know you wanted to talk about a particularly challenging time for you. So why don't you give us a little background on that? What, you know, what was going on, what you were looking at, and then what you ended up doing. So get us started with that conversation.
Sure. So I think that this is a story that requires a little bit of like let's get some things in order so we know like where we're all operating from. In the world of marketing, especially when you're talking about the internet, things kind of go in 5-year cycles. It usually takes about 5 years for something to fully like mature, get regulated, for companies and corporations to get on board with it and use it. So if we go back to like 2010, you know, that's when people were starting to embrace, you know, email marketing, having websites, doing all this stuff as a requirement mm-hmm. for their business. In 2015, like we had fully mastered social media. We were using it as an integral part of everything that we did. Then we entered into 2020 with the start of COVID and everyone being like, oh my God, the internet is actually a place that I need to prioritize. People were building brands, going live, doing video, and it just blew up as a place for us to connect and stay connected with each other through those really difficult times. Well, as we head into 2025, we're entering into this era of like where we have two marketing things that are happening at the same time. One of them mm-hmm. is the influx in AI usage. Everyone has like their AI buzzwords on and how they're using it. They're gonna take over the world or replace their businesses, or they're not going to. It's all this stuff. Everyone has a story, right? And then we have this other side where it's we were so internet and social media dependent that now we're just desperate for human interaction and engagement. And we want to go and spend time with people and do things and connect with people and businesses in a very tangible and real way. And so the struggle that I have dealt with as a marketer is one, it's this constant state of adapting. I always make the joke, I have to move at the speed of the internet, which is so much faster than everything else, which is very difficult when you're trying to do slow things like parent. But at the same time, it's still a necessary thing to pay attention to. And so when I was going into 2025, I had made a lot of like observations about like what was happening with the state of the internet, how people were spending their time and what people were really saying and craving that they wanted. And I already am a person that loves to people. I'm a super extrovert. And so I love going to conferences, speaking on stages and networking, connecting with people. And I always like to talk to people about like where they are in their marketing and like what they're struggling with. And a lot of it came down to the internet isn't quite working the way that I want it to. And I really miss people. And so I started looking at like, hey, like people are really into this idea of other forms of marketing, other ways of peopling. What are the things that we could do in addition to the internet to help make it more succinct and for them to work together? And so much of marketing, everything kind of exists in these like pocketed silos. And I wanted to, my challenge became like, how do I bring this together? What does that look like? And so, like, that I think is like the big challenge that I have been able to overcome and help and guide people through.
Well, this is interesting because you are connecting your, I'm going to say, personality style to your business and how, in a way, that drove what your business was and then what you wanted it to be. I have you thought about it that way, or is it just how you're talking about it now? Because that's a really interesting if that's what, if you had thought about it purposefully that way.
I have always been a person that's like, I get an idea, and if it makes sense to me, I run with it. I like to pride myself on having, everyone has like a really good gut feeling about something. For me, it's I can see like where we're going, especially when it comes to marketing. So I can see like what's next. I can see what's important to pay attention to. I can kind of hear the cues that people will say that allows me to like make really intentional decisions that support myself and my business, but also supports my clients as well.
Okay. So you felt you needed to make a change in direction, right? And I talk about a little bit about what that meant for you. Were you did you feel afraid of doing of continuing what you were doing, or did you see this as a great opportunity? You felt hopeful. Talk about your sort of emotional what you were emotionally going through, because that, too often when we're wrapped up with saying, I gotta, solve this problem, make this decision, we're not as self-aware about what we're actually feeling emotionally and how that's driving a lot of what we're doing. So share a little bit about that part of your experience.
It's actually very interesting. A lot of my pivots that have happened in my business have been against my own will quite a bit. So I got into running my own business because I had graduated college at the start of the recession and there just weren't jobs. So I was like, well, if I'm going to make money, I guess I have to go make a job myself. In 2015, my husband was we were st I had married and he was in the Air Force, and we got stationed in the middle of nowhere in Texas. And this community that I was a part of was really struggling to get jobs. And I had been doing social media marketing for so many years. I decided to start a company that allowed for me to not only service the businesses that I had made these like networking connections with, but also put them to work as social media managers so they could work anywhere they were stationed around the world, because I grew up a military kid and my mom faced this exact same issue. And so I was like, well, I can help with this problem. So, I did that. And then naturally we got orders to move overseas, and I needed to have a way to keep growing that business and bringing business to these women that I was helping. And so I got onto YouTube and started a YouTube channel educating people about social media marketing. And I've done that for years, like almost 8 years at this point, actually almost 9 years at this point. And you know, and then COVID happened. It was like, okay, everyone's going online. I have to be able to build these systems for people and teach them how to use YouTube and do these things. And it's just a lot of like circumstance that pushes you into things that are the right thing for you to do to help you with where you're going. So I got pushed into this pivot within my business because in 2025, I went into my year with a lot of hopes and successes and goals already being met that I had for the year at the beginning. And then 6 days of the start of the year, I had lost 80% of my revenue because everybody was having to pull back on their budgets and take things in-house and cut back on spending because of the increased cost of everything, because of all the tariff issues, all of the stuff that we were dealing with culturally really does affect businesses on a small scale and individual scales for their budgets. And so I was like, oh no, how am I supposed to do this? Like, I'm the breadwinner for my family. I have to take care of everybody's needs, and money's a big part of those needs. And so I was like, ah, what do I do? And that's when at the same time I was like, okay, it's time to like make a really conscious pivot and sunset only doing one thing, which was social media marketing, and really dig into what I was already doing with my customers and encouraging them to do, which is stop thinking of marketing as this one easy button thing, this social media piece or this ad piece or this networking piece. And let's build a strategy that's holistic, that is evergreen and grows for you. And so I sunset my old business all in one social media, and I launched the Cast Agency, where we focus on helping to elevate businesses' success through fractional CMO services and executing on their strategies and their needs for their marketing stuff, whether it's social media management or I need to get these business cards printed for this event I'm going to. We kind of do the full range of all of that work. And so being able to pivot and adapt is something that is very societally and culturally forced in the marketing industry, from my experience. And so if you don't adapt, you die. And so here I am, adapting and not dying.
So am I right that what you are running into is a conflict over how you wanted to be living your life, as much as it was a conflict over, what's most effective with my clients. You said, wait a second, I've created a very complex, sort of practice and business here, and how do I really want to be living my life? How do you want to be living your life? Is that right? Am I reading that right?
I don't think it's so much like how was I wanting to live my life. It was in order for me to sustain my life and to take care of the things that were important to me, I needed to adjust, and I needed to adjust fast so that I would be able to still have the financial means to take care of the things that were important to me, which were my family.
And what, how did you? A, I think this is really good that you're sharing this. I'm wondering that putting it in the context of saying, okay, you had to make a decision to change how you were doing what you were doing, how you're doing your business. Did that come as a moment in time where you said, I have to make a decision here, or was this something you sort of kept testing out in little ways and gradually changed it? Just help me understand if it was in the form of, gee, I have to make a decision, or it was more of, gee, I'm going to kind of gradually change this to see if I can,
I had seen
do
this change
financially right and then live with it as well.
I had seen this change coming. Like, I had seen the writing on the wall about like what marketing was going to be pivoting into back in 2024. And so I was already kind of testing it out with my fractional CMO services with a couple of boutique hand-selected people that I've been talking with about it that had expressed interest and a need. And they gave me the grace to kind of work through some of the kinks of like what people needed and interview them to see like what can we do better, what are the things that are helping. I thought this, they thought that, like all of those like valuable things of launching a new service is. And then I just went like full on at the in 2025, because I just knew that that was a need that people had. Like, marketing managers are really expensive overhead for a lot of businesses, and that person doesn't always know everything that they need to know, and then they have to do all of the like training them and figuring out what to do. And as a business owner or an operations manager, like, you're not a marketing expert, so you're like, sure, figure it out. And versus like if when you work with an agency where we specialize in what we do, like, and if you're the right fit for us and we're the right fit for you, we're able to really identify your goals, where it meets you, where you're at, and putting all of that stuff together in really important ways. And so I wasn't really forced to, I saw it coming, but I just, you never want it to actually like come to fruition so fast and furious, but here we are.
So I'm going to just back up here for 1 second. So are you operating as a fractional marketing officer for a number of companies, or do you have a network of people who you place who are doing that? Just give a little profile of the business you're operating.
Basically, I'm a marketing manager for hire. So I have a team in place that helps with implementation things like we need updates for our website, we need blog posts, we need social media, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, I audit their business with their marketing, and then we build a strategy based on their needs and their goals. And then we execute on that for them, or they take the plan and they run with it with their own team. And so oftentimes people don't want to do it. They realize how much work it is and how much they don't know. And they're like, okay, well, in order for us to meet our goals and do the things, we're going to have you do it because you clearly know what you're talking about because you did all this work for us. And so we focus very intentionally on like, how can we help you accomplish your goals and be an arm for you to help you with other things? Like, I'm very community marketing focused. Like, how can we support the area that tends to service our businesses? Because most of the time businesses serve an area very specifically. And even if you are a corporation or like you're on like on a statewide level or regional area, your company still very much supports a local community because of jobs and taxes and all the money that you influx into the community through the people that you hire and stuff like that. So I'm very community focused when it comes to our strategies, where we're not just talking email, website, social, paid ads. Like, we're also talking, okay, like, what are the events that you can go to? What are the things that you can sponsor? What are some of the other, you know, unconventional marketing things that would really help you with the goals you're trying to meet? And then we help manage and facilitate those for them.
Okay. And do you have people that are working with you or on call who could be doing this work under your sort of broad supervision? I'm just trying to understand the structure of how you're set up.
I do have a team that's in place because it's still military spouse heavy. Everyone kind of works wherever they're stationed around the world. And we're able to have some specific experts. We also work with service providers as the point of contact for the customer. So like, let's say someone wants to run ads. I have an ad company I partner with, and we have a process we've developed together for communications and needs. And so I'm the one having the meeting with the ad guy, not the client. Or they want to sign up for a different service, or they want to have a community outreach coordinator. It's one of the clients I have, but she's too busy to manage that person. She doesn't know what she needs. So I manage her, and we meet and go through those kinds of pieces. And then we come back on the other end and make the adjustments that I communicate to the CEO. So I act as the person that is in between all of the marketing needs, because there's so many, so that they don't have to worry about all of the decisions, the minute communications, the small details, and then the things that they want just get done. They get to be reported to on what's happening.
Yeah. So if I wanted to hire you as a fractional marketing officer, you then are taking responsibility for finding the right people to do various parts of all this, coordinating all that activity, developing the messaging and branding and all that sort of stuff. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. No, I think it's helpful for people who are listening to this to understand that someone who's talented like yourself, who can do that, can be an incredible resource, as opposed to saying, oh my God, I've got to go hire somebody full time. I'm not big enough to do that. And, you know, I'm not going to get the kind of quality I need at this point in the life cycle of the company. So anyway, that's good. I back up for a second. So when you made a change from what you were doing before this is what you're doing now. You changed from what you were doing before that you thought was much too intense for, you know, what you wanted to do is too much demanding on your time. Is that right? And it wasn't exactly this model. Give us a little bit of a profile of what you actually changed from to where you are now.
So I was running into the issue where people were coming to me wanting one service. They wanted me to do their social media for them. And again, it's something I've been doing for 15 plus years, right? I've been doing this since MySpace. And social media is not a marketing strategy. So they would, my clients were gonna get frustrated because like it wasn't working. And like when we would talk to them, be like, well, your website doesn't have this lead capture, you don't have a way to communicate via email, or what are we running for ads? Like there, like what are we doing to drive attention to your website through organic search? So there are a lot of these pieces because social media is a part of a marketing strategy, and it's a farther down the priority list of a marketing strategy. And so many of them are wanting it to be the marketing strategy. Like, this is all we're gonna do is social. And I'm like, that's not gonna work. And I just got really disheartened and discouraged because I wanted to help my customers, but they didn't have all the things in place to make social media effective for them because that's just not how it operated circa 2024. And so I made the conscious pivot because in order, I don't want to offer something to somebody that isn't going to work or that I wouldn't do for myself or that I wouldn't like have my mom do. So I was like, okay, I need to branch out beyond just this one service and give the full strategy. That way they can have something that actually, like a structure that actually works.
So were you, and I'm trying to understand meaning encourage you to communicate. What was the risk in making a change? You're saying, look, you were really good at social media communication, but you realized that by itself is not getting your clients what they needed.
Yes.
And so when you said you've got to broaden it, is the risk for you, the uncertainty for you, because you were giving up some clients who only wanted you to do that, or you had to hire
Well,
some people to come on and take the risk of the finance. What was the sort of risk profile that you were dealing with when you had to make that decision?
The risk was I was losing clients, right? Like I said, I was losing a big fraction of my income. And so the risk was if I don't change, I don't pivot, I don't do something better, I'm not going to be in business anymore. I'm not going to have any more income, right? So that was the risk. And I did not have to hire more people or do anything crazy like that, make that kind of investment. I was able to shift myself and what we offered and how we presented what we could do. I took on more of the, time risk initially of like, hey, this is where I'm gonna be doing a lot more manual labor. Like I'm in build mode, right? And I had to like do more hands-on work. But the team was able to adapt and pick up the necessary extra skills that were needed, and we just went forward with that level of adjustment. And by adding in the strategy piece and these other things that everyone's missing, they stopped doing these random acts of marketing and they got a cohesive marketing plan that accomplished their goals and was and continued to work for them and grow like a snowball.
Now, when I talk about decision making with people, one of the things that I encourage them to do is to not just rely on themselves and sort of their own thinking about, gee, should I do this? Do I really want to do that? What if I screw up on this or what have you? I encourage them to talk to people that they trust who can share, give them some advice and counsel, maybe share their own experiences. Did you do that yourself in this case? You said you were married, so maybe your husband or other people that work with you. How did you use other resources to help you make your decision as to what you're actually going to do?
I talk with a lot of people. Like I said, I'm very extroverted and I'm very fortunate to have a really solid network of entrepreneurial peers that I can bounce things off of and ask questions. And the two biggest ones that really did show me that like this was the right move and this was the necessary change to make was my friend Jessica. She's also a YouTuber who also does marketing stuff, and she was seeing a similar issue with what she was doing, which is very content creator heavy. And so I kind of bounced off the idea of like how it would work for her, what I was looking to accomplish, how the structure would be. And she was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like it allows for you to go after this like kind of person versus this kind of person, all that stuff. And then of course, yes, I talked to my husband. My husband's my partner in crime, my best friend. Like, he's been there since the beginning of me working for myself. In fact, he was but way back when he was just my boyfriend, he was the one that was encouraging me to work for myself and not go try and give my talents and time to other people that aren't deserving or don't understand what I can do. And he took on some financial burdens to like help me get there. And we obviously had tons of time sacrifices and mistakes that were made. But yeah, I wouldn't do anything as big as, hey, I'm going to sunset a business without talking to him first.
Now, you have to allow me to say this. I'm a guy, you're a woman. Women are a lot more at ease with talking with each other about issues like this than men are.
Mm-hmm.
I think men have a lot of difficulty saying, you know, I'm not really sure what I should do here. Is there people in my network or others that I could go talk to and bounce ideas off or find out what the heck they're doing? Have you been aware of, I don't know, the fact that you are a woman as an advantage in helping you think through really what you should be doing in cases where you have to make difficult decisions?
There's so many thoughts I have to unpack around the subject. I've always been a very big advocate of female business owners. For 5 years, I actually had a podcast that I did called Women of Video, where we focus on talking to women YouTubers and content creators about how they were building their brands and businesses. And it was a wonderful mm-hmm. way to learn how there's all these cool ways to make money and how you can do it anywhere and how the resiliency of women because of where they're at. You know, you said something very interesting too, like men have a hard time talking to each other. Like mm-hmm. there is a male loneliness epidemic for that exact reason. You know, I'm 41 this year, and I think that a lot of the people that I grew up with, like our millennial generation, was very, like, we were taught, like at least men were taught, from my understanding with what I talked and I learned from my husband and in therapy and things like that, talking with other men, they're not taught to talk to each other. It's a lot of like grunting and elbowing and fighting and like that, those things. Like if you had an emotional need, you'd go to your mom or you wouldn't talk about it and you would bury it down inside. And so I think that while being a wildly unhealthy way to deal with your issues, I think with being a woman, because we function as communicators and connectors and problem solvers, mm-hmm. it's easy for us to kind of think through stuff. And I think that there's this extra special like thing that happens to your brain when you become a mother too, that allows for you yeah. to see just more and do more. And it's not to say that like if you don't have kids, like it's not saying that you don't, not an incredible person as it is, but I did notice that when I became a mother that like I just saw things faster and quicker, and I knew I had to adapt in a different way, just from like a survival perspective of taking care of my kids and, you know, multitasking and the quick thoughts on different kinds of things. It also costs me things like, you know, hormone balances and mood control and and things like that, but all worth it, of course. But being a woman has always been a wonderful advantage for me because it gives me different insight and different perspective, and it allows for me to bring an empathetic and sympathetic ear and eye to something. And I think that also I tend to be, because I'm so extroverted, I tend to be, my default setting is joy, and I just like to disarm people as best as I can, just to like help them feel comfortable and get them where they need to be. So it's that mom energy, right? Like, we just like, how can I help you? What do you need? You need a cookie? I'm great at giving you cookies. So there's always baked goods in my house.
Yeah. Well, do you belong to any, I'm going to say, peer support groups like YPO or Visage or anything like that?
I'm actually part of Athena. I'm on the steering committee for the Athena program in my county, which is a program designed to help bring women together through education, resources, support, and we're building out like what we want the organization to stand for and mean for our community, not just for businesses, but also for like the individuals who live here, so that we can support each other in those really intentional ways.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I'm asking is that I belong to what we call a forum group within the Harvard Business School Alumni Association.
Thanks.
And it's one of these opportunities for me and people who belong to these groups like this, an opportunity for me to talk about issues that I'm dealing with people who have, you know, sort of a similar, they're not exactly like me, but a similar place in life, and say, share your experience dealing with issues like this yourself. And they don't know as much about as I do about whatever problem I'm dealing with. But I do get to hear how different people think about approaching problem similar to the one I'm facing. And I find that to be very valuable. And that's the reason I was asking you whether you belong to one of those, because part of successful leadership is, first of all, being prepared to make decisions, to make choices as a leader. But secondly, it's being what I call vulnerable. It's being open to learning from other people and listening to other people, listening to other people's experiences, and accepting the fact that I might not have all the answers. I might be wrong about some things I'm thinking, and I will be more successful in the long term if I'm willing to listen to other points of view and learn from other people. And frankly, I got to say, I think often women are better at doing that than guys are, which is why I was asking you, taking advantage of the fact that you've lived this life experience as a successful woman and a leader of your company, and if you have found that yourself. So I don't know, if you want to give any throwback on that or comments on that, you're welcome to do it.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with you and say that women are the best, but that's my perspective on things. Being a woman is an incredibly powerful tool. And I think that a lot of it is that we have the commonality around a common struggle as well as like a common joy. You know, we have the privilege of being able to be parents, come together. We bond really fast with people. But we also deal with the struggle of like being women, where women still make less money than men per hour. We're still struggling with, you know, all of these political and religious complications that make being a woman difficult, like, you know, the loss of autonomy over our bodies. And, you know, there's a lot of things with like medical, like there's just a lot, and it's not to make it political. So there's that commonality that we have, like that common struggle where we can turn to each other and be like, you're a woman, I'm a woman. How can we help each other? You know, I know that one of the things I taught my kids when they were little, like if anything happens to you, go find a mommy, like they're going to be the ones that can help you. And so it's just, you know, it's just one of those things that we're able to do. So women have such great strength and resilience and problem solving, and we're at an unhealthy level of self-sacrifice for things. But at the same time, you know, we have such a great advantage where we can overcome and think and work through things in much different ways that I think men are not able to. And that's why, in my opinion, I think women make the best entrepreneurs, especially mothers. Mm-hmm. And I think that women should honestly just run everything, but that's also just me.
Well, we've got a couple more minutes left. One, let me pose a question to you if you are open to thinking about this and sharing. And that is that when you or me are facing a really difficult decision that we have to make about whether we're going to do something or stop something or whatever it is, you know, we are fearful or anxious or uncertain or hopeful and sort of setting everything else aside. I mean, I do want to use the word emotional, but what I'm really trying to get at here is that we are controlled to some degree by our feelings about ourselves, the possibility of failure, or maybe excited about the opportunity and therefore disregard the risks that we're taking on. Do you talk a little bit about how you deal with your own emotions at a moment when you really ought to be as clear as possible about what you're really trying to achieve and your goals, and make kind of, I'm going to say rational. I mean, we're not, I don't say you only make rational decisions. We all obviously make decisions based on sort of how we're feeling about things. But how do you deal, I don't know, have the courage sometimes when you have to sit off and do things where the outcome is not going to be obvious at all? How do you get emotional courage to do things that are difficult for you?
That's a really interesting question. I don't think I've ever been asked anything like that before, so thank you. It's so interesting. So I'm a big advocate for therapy. My husband is PTSD from time in service, and he has done a lot of work with trauma therapy. And I have also done a lot of work to help recover from my struggles through his mm-hmm. stuff. And one of the things that I had to learn while I was in therapy is that feelings are not stupid. Because I used to say that all the time. Feelings are stupid. They get in the way of progress. And it was this complicated like relationship I had with feeling things. And what I learned is that by suppressing my feelings and not taking the time to listen to them and processing them, I was in turn making poor decisions and not being true to myself and where I was in my life. So when I have to make decisions, there are simple ones that you can make pretty regularly that are not like require a lot of thought. Like those are a lot of instinct, like, yeah, we're done. But when we have something like bigger you have to make, or you have to figure out something hard, or how to talk to somebody, or you're just struggling with how something happened, the best thing is to like to I have learned is to get a step back and step away literally. So like I will go for a walk. I will go my office is in my basement. I will go upstairs and I will do something different that allows for me to think. I think through activity. So like I'll bake something or I'll clean something or whatever just to kind of process that and how I feel about it. Or I talk about it with my husband, but it's like asking myself, how do I feel about that? And then why do I feel that way about it? Like, where is that feeling coming from? And when I'm able to take the time to sit with that discomfort and identify it, it allows me to answer my questions in more intentional ways, to be more regulated, to make a more intentional decision rather than an emotional one or the wrong one. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of time in between when you do something. If you get like a frustrated email from somebody, or someone canceled service with you, or something doesn't go your way, like responding immediately is not the right way to do that. Like, it's always going to be the wrong way. So stepping back and just letting it sit is okay. It's not like someone is saying, "Hey, you're someone you know and love died. Like get here immediately." It's not that. It's that we have this thing, and so it allows for you to sit in it and process it and figure out the right way to come back at it. So that's my answer to that question. I don't know if that's the right answer. I'm sure it's no. This is one of the things that doesn't have the right answer. It's my experience. So that is my experience with how to deal with emotions in business and stuff. Because I know that compartmentalizing is something that a lot of entrepreneurs and leaders do. And the problem with compartmentalization is sometimes they forget to go open that box back up and deal with how that feeling that they were having. And that can be the part that can be really unhealthy that can cause a lot of problems in the long run.
Yeah, no, I think that's terrific. I think that's a great way of looking at it. I encourage people when they're facing an important decision to just take a walk or go to the gym or, I mean, whatever it is they do to get centered on who they are and what values they want to express through the decision they're making, so that in retrospect, they will say, I made the best decision that I could based on the information's available at the time, and I am okay with it expressing who I am as a person, who I am as a leader, as a decision maker for this organization, this company that I lead. I'm okay with that decision because I didn't let it be out of anger or fear or resentment or ambition or only caring about myself. I'm okay because the decision that I made, I took the time to think about it, and it is a fair reflection of who I am as a leader and a reflection of capturing of the goals for the organization, the risks that we want to take as an organization, and the values that we want to express as an organization.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
Perfect.
I think your comments were really on target.
I'm so glad. I mean, it's my lived experience, and so if I can help anybody not have to go through something hard, I would love for my experiences to help them get there.
Okay, well, Desiree, this has been a really great conversation. I want to
Thank
thank you
you.
for sharing, your experiences, your way of thinking about it, and kind of what you've been through. So if listeners wanted to get in touch with you and learn more about your company and the work you're doing, how could they do that?
I would normally say go find me on LinkedIn or online, but I actually have a book I wrote that's called Stop Marketing, Start Belonging, Real World Marketing That Builds Loyal Customers Anywhere. And it focuses on a lot of what I talked about when we talk about marketing, about community building and how we bridge in real life marketing to digital nurturing. And so it's a great way to understand like how I work and what we do at my agency. There's lots of fun like things you can go do, like workspaces and all that kind of stuff. And then of all else fails, I love to talk to people on LinkedIn. So you can find me over there at Desiree Martinez over on LinkedIn.
Okay, well, that's great. I also want to thank those who are listening to this podcast for tuning in. I hope you found it valuable for yourself as a leader, and you're gaining from hearing the experiences of these really incredible leaders who are coming on the podcast. I also want to say that if you're listening and you have an interesting and compelling story to tell about decisions you've had to make, and would be open to doing that through the podcast, please reach out to me. So you can go to Rick, R-I-C-K, rickwilliamsleadership.com, and then go to the Create the Future podcast section on my website. So again, that's rickwilliamsleadership.com. Remember that you create the future by the decisions you make today. So when you're faced with a difficult challenge and must make important decisions, slow down and take the time to get it right. And also, I encourage you to have a little fun along the way. So until next time, be well. What an interesting and inspiring conversation. I hope you found it as valuable as I did. Thank you for listening. Let me know if you have a compelling story to tell about making tough choices for your organization or for yourself. Coming on my podcast is a way to share what you have learned with a wider audience. If someone you know would be a great guest, please make an introduction. I welcome leaders with a story to tell and important learning to share. You can contact me about the podcast at podcast.rickwilliamsleadership.com. That's podcast.rickwilliamsleadership.com. Please share the link to my podcast with your colleagues. They will thank you for getting them access to these valuable conversations. And finally, please give us a great rating on and subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Just search for Create the Future with Rick Williams. Thank you for listening to Create the Future with Rick Williams podcast, conversation with leaders who make difficult decisions and build lasting legacies.